take long to. I'm free of my disease. Yeah, I'm free of my disease. Set me free of my disease.
Greetings, programs, and welcome to Quarks and Recreation, episode 8. I'm your co-host, Doug.
And I'm your other host, Brandon.
And we're talking about germs today. Bacteria and viruses. The things that make us sick.
I don't want to get sick. I just don't. I don't know what to do.
Well, there's not really any way to avoid getting sick unless you want to live in a bubble. There are some people that have had really compromised immune systems. And I remember when I was growing up, there was a big news story about the so-called bubble boy. Because if he got sick, he'd die because he had no way to fight it off.
Have you seen the movie Bubble Boy?
I have not seen the movie Bubble Boy.
It's okay. You don't have to. It's not something that you have to, you know, like, fight to go see. It's not something that's so great.
I'll pass on seeing the movie Bubble Boy. But they're making fun of a real person. That is the condition that exists. If you don't have an immune system that works and can fight off disease, even the smallest cold can be a real, real huge problem.
That's, I would... Getting sick is sometimes cool. You get to stay home from school. You get your ice cream. You get TV in bed. What else can you ask for?
That's true. And all you have to do is suffer through something really, really painful and annoying, like a sore throat. Or,
oh, that's just the worst.
Yeah, sore throats aren't good. That's hard to deal with. So where do you want to start on the science of germs?
Oh, you know, like, where do they, like, come from? Like, where are you going to find, like...
Find
Germ
them?
Central? I don't know. Like
Germ Central is everywhere. Germs are all around us. There's millions of them living in and on you right now. In fact, your entire body mass, there are 10 times more germ cells than you living on you right now. So for every like one cell that's a part of your body, somewhere there's 10 more like bacteria swimming around your bloodstream.
Oh, wow. So when you're sick, you have a lot of germs.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got more germs than you would otherwise already have. You hear about people who are germophobes, and it's like, I can't get sick, I gotta wash my hands a million times a day.
You can't Don't bother. Not get sick.
Don't bother. Yeah, you're losing that battle. It's going to happen. But that's okay, your body's equipped with a lot of really great systems that combat those diseases. So getting sick isn't so bad, as long as it's nothing really severe. Now, if you come down with the Black Plague, I mean, go see a doctor. You're not going to clear that up with Robitussin. But
think Advil will help?
It helps with the symptoms. It's not going to save your life, but it might make your headache go away if you've got a headache. So germs are all over the place. There are obviously places that are worse than others. You know, you think about things like toilet seats and, you know, generally bathrooms are gross to begin with. But... It turns out, like, some of the dirtiest places are things like telephones.
Yeah, because they go in your ear and, you know.
They're things people touch with their hands all day. So, think about money. Money is typically thought of as pretty gross because, you know, you take that quarter or those dollar bills out of your pocket, you hand them to someone, he takes them, someone makes change, he hands them to somebody else, and they just keep circulating through.
So, yeah. I'm losing my mind, I think. Maybe I have too much germs in my head.
Well, you can have germs in your head. You can have germs in just about any part of your body. It's pretty dangerous. So bacteria are really all around us, as are viruses. All kinds of microbial life. If you just take a single drop of water and pop it under a microscope, you can see all the kinds of interesting plants and animals that live that are just very, very small, too small for us to see.
So you're saying there are germs in our water?
Sure, there's germs in our water.
I don't want to drink anymore, but I just had something to drink. I don't know what to do with myself.
Well, don't worry about it. The germs that are in our bodies, first of all, there's a lot of germs that live in our bodies that are supposed to be there, that are there to help us. In fact, they help break down food after you eat it. That's their job. So it's not a weird thing.
If we were to have like a germless life with no germs possible, would we like Would it be bad for us?
Probably. I mean, there's a certain number of germs that you do need. Like I said, the ones that help out with certain tasks inside your own body. But also, your immune system needs to be worked out. Like it, just like any other part of your body, kind of needs to be exercised. So if you never get sick and you never and you do all you can, you end up with a really weak immune system. So when that one germ comes through that you're not used to, then it's going to be a lot more problematic for you. That's why people get vaccines for viruses. What a vaccine does, a vaccine, when you go to the doctor and they give you a shot, it is the disease. They're giving you a weakened, deadened form of the disease, so your body learns how to fight it without having to deal with actually getting sick. Your body learns all of the tools that it needs to kill that disease ahead of time. Make sense?
So there's practically a war going on in our body, is a way of thinking of it.
Yeah, all the time. Your body is constantly at battle with any of these foreign invaders that are coming in. Now, you don't notice it most of the time. It's only once in a while when, you know, you have a really... when the invaders start winning the battle, that's when you notice. And there's two main kinds of germs, bacteria and viruses, and they're very, very different. So bacteria are one-celled organisms. They're a whole life form contained in a single cell. And they can move around. They have different ways of moving. So some of them will have things called flagellum. And the flagellum is like a tail. And they whip this thing around, and that helps them propel themselves through through water or blood.
And
some of them have cilia. And cilia are like tiny little hairs all along the outside. And they just wiggle. And that's how they splash their way through your blood.
And that's why you always feel like you're getting tickled, because there's little hair in your bloodstream.
Exactly. So those are some of the kinds of ways bacteria can move around. And what they do is their cells, just like the cells in your body, what they do is inside they duplicate all of themselves, and then they split in half. It's a process called mitosis. So they take their DNA, they split their DNA apart, they fill in both sides, and they have two new strands of DNA, and they make new versions of all the little organs that are inside themselves. And once they've got two of everything, they split. And they can do that really fast.
Like, fast meaning like snap of a finger or a day?
Not quite. Somewhere in between. It depends on the species, and there's, you know, millions of species of bacteria. But, for example, there are some bacteria that can do this once every 20 minutes. So that's a lot. Think about it this way. If you have one of these bacteria, in 20 minutes you have 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and on and on and on as they split and split and split. So if you get one of these fast-moving ones, that can be a lot for your body to deal with.
And if you were dealing with a cliffhanger, the next number I think was 128.
That is correct. Good job. That is to the power of 2. So when they when these things invade your body, now a lot of them are harmless. They're not doing any damage. They're cruising on by, right? They're tourists. They're swimming through your body and not doing any harm. The ones that do harm are basically they're leaving their waste behind. They're doing two things. They're either leaving some sort of chemical inside you that is poisonous and harmful, or they're eating your cells. They're actually munching on you. Those are the two things they can do.
Okay, so if you think you're getting shorter, there's your reason.
That's right.
You're getting eaten.
If you have an infection on the bottom of your feet, they'll slowly eat their way up. So that's kind of how bacteria do what they do. And there's lots of different kinds of them. They come in different shapes and sizes. So, for example, a paramecium is the most common one you'll see. And they are sort of football-shaped bacteria. But there's other ones called spirochetes. And those are, like their name suggests, they're a spiral. Kind of look like a long piece of pasta that's all corkscrewed around.
What about like a parasite? Is that like a virus or bacteria? Is that just like a little monster that gets in you?
Well, a parasite just means any organism that feeds or that requires another organism to live. So, for example, yes, the germs are parasites because they need to be inside your body and feed off of you to live. They can't live independently outside of you, for the most part. Some of them can. But, for example, something like a tapeworm is a worm that can get inside you and grow in your stomach and live in there. Now, it's not microscopic, it's not a bacteria, but it's still a parasite. It's hooked up to you and it needs you to survive.
And is that, like, harmless? Is that harmful?
Oh, no. Tapeworms are nasty. They're definitely harmful.
And how, like, if you, like, say if I were to get one in the next 10 seconds, would I have to, like, take one out in the next few days? Or
maybe. I'm not exactly sure how fast tapeworms grow. But I can tell you don't want one. They're basically, what they're doing is you're eating food, and you eat that food so you can get nutrients so you can live. Well, now you've got a freeloader who's eating that food, so you would start to lose weight, you would start to have vitamin deficiencies and things, because this thing is living inside you and sucking up all the resources. So that can be a real problem. Plus, they can, you know, cause a lot of damage in there. You just don't want them. They're horrifying to look at. Do not Google a picture of a tapeworm.
What do they look like?
You ever see the movie Alien?
Well, they kind of look like that. Anyway, getting back to viruses.
What a virus does is it's a living hypodermic needle, and it gets to a cell, and it takes this piece of DNA, it injects it into the cell. The DNA goes into the DNA of the cell, your own body, and it splices its way in there. And your body is reading your DNA, and when it reads your DNA, what it's looking at is, how do I build a protein? Your DNA sequence, DNA, we should start with what DNA is. DNA is a long, ladder-shaped molecule. And
twists.
Yeah, and it twists. Each rung of the ladder are two different molecules. It comes in four flavors. Adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. A, T, C, and G. And they pair off. So I believe A pairs with T and C pairs with G. So if you've got one half of the ladder and it says A, G, C, T, you can fill in the other side of the ladder because there's one matching rung for each of these, right? They go with each other. And that's how DNA replicates. You zip it apart, you can now fill in the blanks on either side of the ladder, and you keep going. And the way your cells produce things that you need, it'll unzip the ladder, and the letters, A, T, G, C, T, G, C, A, whatever that sequence is, corresponds to it's code for a molecule that you need in your body. So your body will read the code and go, oh, that's the recipe for this molecule that I need, and produce it. So where this comes in with the virus is, the virus puts its own DNA in there. And so your cell's going along reading, okay, I got to produce this, I got to produce that. Hey, what's this code? I don't know. Well, I'll produce it. Well, the thing that it's producing is more viruses. And it will keep producing more and more viruses until the cell literally fills with viruses and explode. Well, guess what they do? They all go to the next cells and infect them, and they start producing more viruses, and so on and so forth. And that's how they work.
This is a two-part question. The first part is, a virus or bacteria, do they, like, think? Like, do they, obviously they're thinking because they're doing all these things, but...
Nope.
Is it, there's no pot, like, mealworm, or the tapeworm?
Well, the tapeworm.
Something like that.
Well, worms do have brains. They need brains because they have a nervous system. They actually have things that they're controlling through nerve conduction. Now, one-celled organisms don't have brains. So everything they do is hardwired. They don't make decisions. Everything is kind of on automatic pilot for them. So, no, they don't think about, well, what do I have to infect next? They might have sensors that tell them, ooh, I like a certain kind of cell. I like heart tissue, or I like lung tissue. And they know that if they're near lung tissue, they don't know it in their brains, but they can sense it, and they will just automatically react to, hey, lungs, cool, eat, lunch. You know, that's how they work. And viruses don't even do that. Viruses are just this single piece of DNA that knows how to replicate itself. The one good thing about viruses is because viruses are actually specific. So they are a very specific piece of DNA, and they have a very specific structure that is designed to work off of certain kinds of cells. So a virus that might infect your brain cells would have no ability to affect your liver cells because it's too different.
So the other part of this question is actually a very huge question.
All right.
I don't know to you it is, but to me.
Okay.
So there's 7 billion people on the Earth, and there could be 7 billion, like, germs in us or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that we're, like, a germ to another living thing above us? Like, space is, like, someone's body, and we're that. Is that possible? Like, when we have a disease, it's someone getting a shot, and is that possible?
You mean, are humans the virus?
Are we the virus? Yeah.
We do reproduce, and we do destroy a lot of the planet. And humans do things that are viral in nature, but no, we're not viruses themselves. We don't do things that viruses do, but that is a way to think about our responsibility to the planet. I mean, there's a whole lot of us, probably too many, for the planet to sustain, and we are causing a lot of damage. But the difference between us and a virus is we actually have control over our thoughts and our actions. We can work together with our friends and neighbors and people all over the world and make decisions. It's hard sometimes to take things that apply to very, very microscopic concepts and apply them to what we call macroscopic, which is our level, the large scale of the universe, and vice versa. Sometimes we see things and think like, oh, well, if you were to shrink this down, it would be the same if I shrunk it down. And no, actually, the laws of physics behave differently when you get small enough, so things actually aren't quite the same. So I don't think we're actually a literal virus, but I do think we do things sometimes that do mimic what viruses do. So, but that's a great question. And those are the two main ones. You got bacteria and viruses. There's also things called prions, which are less common, but they're actually kind of worse. The prion is basically the virus DNA without the virus shell around it. And it's a free-floating piece of DNA that can get into your cells and do the same thing. It'll replicate. The problem is that the way that your body fights viruses is it learns what the shell looks like, and then it learns how to destroy the shell of the virus, its body, basically. So if your body knows how to spot the shell, it can break it down, and then it's harmless, it's dead. But if you're a prion and you don't even have a body or a shell, your body it doesn't know how to fight that. It doesn't know how to recognize that. So prion diseases can be very dangerous. Mad cow disease is a prion disease.
What's a mad cow disease?
Mad cow disease is basically like rabies for cows. The cows would go crazy because this would infect their brains, and they couldn't fight it off. And the meat from those cows would be tainted. You wouldn't want to eat it. You could get sick from it, too. Most diseases are kind of specific to a species. Like, you know, you can't get necessarily the same kinds of like, if your dog gets a cold, you're not going to get a cold from your dog, and he's not going to get a cold from you. But mad cow disease, being one of these prion diseases, was actually able to leap from cows to humans, and so that meat was very dangerous to eat. So I think there hasn't been an outbreak of it in a while, but it was all over the news some years back. So that's a nasty prion disease.
I've always heard rabies, but what, I don't even know what rabies is. Like, what's the symptoms and, like...
The primary symptoms of rabies is foaming at the mouth. You'll foam at the mouth, you'll go crazy, your brain will basically overheat, and you'll eventually die. But it is curable. So if they get to you in time, they give you these very painful injections. I know they give you these painful injections in your stomach, and you can survive it.
Isn't it that you're afraid of water, too?
I've heard that, but I don't know that that's true. I think people... that might be an old wives' tale. Not 100% sure.
Those wives have to talk about something when, that's right, when they're at home.
In fact, I guess as long as we're on to old wives' tales, now is a good time to move over to our Internet is Dumb section.
The Internet is Dumb.
All right, so this week on The Internet is Dumb, we're covering the vaccine autism connection. Have you heard about this?
Actually, very, very recently, and every here and there, you just kind of, like, hear it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way it goes is the thought, you know, autism is really prevalent. It seems to be more prevalent now than it used to be. And a lot of people got to thinking, well, gee, people get vaccines more than they used to, and maybe there's a connection between the two. Like, there's chemicals in the vaccine that are making kids autistic. But it's been widely debunked. There's a lot of reasons why. First of all, you have to understand what autism is and how it forms. Autism is a mental condition where your thought processes are different than normal people. And there's what's called an autism spectrum, right? There's people who have really severe forms of the disease and people who have really mild or higher functioning forms of it. But it all involves the connections on the inside of your brain. Well, by the time you're born, those connections are already formed the way they're going to form. So it's not like you can get a vaccine when you're 3 years old and your brain is going to re-scramble itself and now you're going to have a problem you didn't have before. So that's one of the biggest knocks against this theory. You have to always worry about connecting things that are correlated with causation. With that, when things are correlated, that means they go up or down together. So, like, I'll give you an example, a famous example. There are a lot of murders, or more murders in New York during the summer. So, does summer mean that people get more violent, and that's what summer causes murders?
That heat is just deadly, you know?
Well, that's the idea, is that you go, wait a minute, maybe there's a third factor here that causes both of those things to go up and down at the same time. You know, that's like saying, like, oh, well, in New York in the summer, there's more ice cream sales, so maybe ice cream causes murder. Like, no, just because things are happening at the same time, or even just things happen one after the other, doesn't necessarily mean they're related. I'll give you another example. When a rooster crows before the sun rises, right? But the rooster doesn't cause the sun to rise. The sun is rises because the earth is rotating. So whenever someone tells you, well, these, you know, gee, they're, you know, all these kids had vaccines and now they have autism, like, well, yeah, but they also all had teddy bears too. Like, so you can't say the teddy bears caused the autism. The underlying cause is still unknown at this point, but it's not the vaccines.
Okay, so, sorry, people, but you just gotta keep digging. You're gonna find that evidence sooner or later.
Yeah, so even though it may hurt a little bit to go to the doctor and get a shot, you're way better off doing it just to make sure that you stay healthy. Even though it might hurt a little bit in the short term, don't worry, you can handle it. It's not so bad.
I actually think pricks are worse than shots.
The little ones?
The pricks that they do on your finger, I think that's much worse than a shot.
Yeah, the TB test, the tuberculosis?
Get like a little thing and they like prick the top of one of your fingers. I think that's so much worse than a...
Well, plus it's on the tip of your... I mean, you're using the tip of your fingers a lot. You're touching things. But like if it's on your left arm or whatever, that's not going to be so bad. And that's sort of how... that's how vaccines work. What vaccines are, like we said before... it is a weakened, deadened version of a virus that your body... It's like target practice. It gives your body target practice to fight off those diseases. So, but it's great because it means that all these horrendous diseases that used to be a real problem, President Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt was in a wheelchair for his adult life, and because he had polio as a kid. It was a real problem that parents were afraid of, and now there's almost no cases of polio in the United States, or really not much else in the world either. But there's still a lot of viral outbreaks elsewhere in the world that you have to worry about. There's a huge Ebola outbreak in Africa right now. They are also struggling with the HIV virus.
What's Ebola?
Ebola is a virus that I believe attacks your, I think your liver. I'd have to look it up. I forget which organ it attacks, but it attacks some of your digestive organs. It causes a lot of internal bleeding, and that's, I think, what you end up ultimately dying from. That one's pretty nasty, and that one's spreading through Africa right now. And it's scary because, you know, someone could have it, not know they have it, get on a plane, and go anywhere.
That's how zombie outbreaks could happen.
That's how any outbreak could happen. We're a mobile society. It used to be, to go across the continent, you'd have to mount up a bunch of oxen, hook them to a covered wagon, and take 3 months or, you know, a year to get all the way across the Oregon Trail. Now you can fly from here to New York in an afternoon. Yeah. So we're taking our viruses all over the place where they would otherwise maybe be more localized and contained.
Shouldn't they close down airports? Like, there's an outbreak. The outbreak in Africa. Wouldn't it be smart just to close down the airports, even if you have to go see family for Christmas? But don't you want to, like, make sure the world's okay? And
well, it's tough because there's so many people that... You'd have to give everybody a blood test or something before they got onto an airplane. It's just one of those things that's hard to administer. And, I mean, I agree. Sometimes you think it would make sense to just shut it all down and hopefully you can contain it. But so far there hasn't been an outbreak of anything that is so prevalent and so dangerous that we couldn't handle it. The last time there was an outbreak of that nature, that was really that devastating, would probably be the bubonic plague.
When was that?
I think it was in the Renaissance. It was like Shakespearean kind of era. So late 1500s, early 1600s.
And did Shakespeare die from that?
He did not die from that, but in his time period, maybe the 1300s through about the 1600s, a third of Europe died. from this disease.
Is that the Ring Around the Rosie song?
Is that the... No, I believe the Ring Around the Rosie one, that is might be tuberculosis. I forget. That's a different one. But or maybe it is the Black Plague. So the Black Plague, what was dangerous about it is it killed quickly. You die in like 5 days, but you'd spend three of those days, 2 to 3, not knowing you had it. So you'd be more likely to spread it. And it was spread by bugs.
Mosquitoes usually, right?
Well, in this part of the world, it was fleas. But yeah, it's the same idea. These are organisms that feed off of your blood, right? And so they bite you. They suck a little blood up. They go to bite the next guy. Well, a little bit of the blood is still on its mouth from the last meal. That blood gets in the next person. And that's how it spreads around. Today, malaria is a very dangerous disease, and that's spread by mosquitoes.
I don't even know what malaria... I'm very uneducated when it comes to this
disease.
Stuff.
Malaria... So malaria is actually mosquitoes, I think, is it virus or is it laying their eggs in you? I forget what it is, but same deal. Mosquitoes are sucking... They're tapping into your bloodstream, and they're leaving behind dangerous toxins when they do that and spreading it from person to person. So you don't have to worry about it so much here. That's something you see more of in the tropics and like the Caribbean or the jungles, but not so much here in California. Here what you get is Lyme disease, which you get from ticks. And again, the same thing. Deer ticks or any ticks, you know, ticks get on you. They bury their head into your body and just start munching away. And sometimes they carry Lyme disease.
Is that
painful? No, you don't even notice it. That's the problem. You might not notice the tick for a while unless it's somewhere visible. I got one once, and you know, I just came home. I went hiking when I was younger. I came home, and I happened to like have my shirt off. My mom looked and said, "Well, is that a new mole?" Not a mole. Moles don't have legs, and so we had to take it out because.
So, how long do they go in your stomach, or how long?
They sit on top of your skin. They just sit there and they stick their head in and start, you know,
for hours at a time.
Days. I mean, they just sit there and all they do is just munch on your bloodstream.
So couldn't? How do they breathe? And you just don't understand.
They breathe through their necks. They have like gills and things. So they don't breathe out of their mouths like you or I do.
So couldn't they suck out all your blood within those days?
Well, no, they're tiny. I mean, they're not going to take all your blood. They're just going to take what they need to survive. But while they're doing that, they're getting their filthy Lyme disease in you. And I forget what the symptoms of Lyme disease are off the top of my head. But you don't want that one either. That one can be bad. And you'll have some of these viruses, especially, you can have for the rest of your life. Like, they might go dormant, and they're not doing anything for a while, but they can reactivate. Viruses have that ability, because they're not really alive. They're literally just a piece of DNA in a shell that floats around. They don't eat, they don't sleep, they don't do anything. So even if you have a virus that's, quote, in remission, it's still in you somewhere. It can hang out and come back. Scary.
Ouch.
So, I think with that, we can move on to our mailbag section. Not too much in the mailbag section this week, but we got a couple of good questions, so here we go.
She wrote about it. Return to sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such phone.
Ooh, I don't want to read all this mail.
All right. The first... main question I got was through our Facebook page, and it was sort of a question. We were talking about hand sanitizer, and this comes from, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Anadice, A-N-A-D-I-C-E-B. And we had posted something about sanitizer killing, you know, Purell. It kills 99.99% of germs on your hands.
That can't be true.
Well, it can. I mean, alcohol is, there's alcohol in it, and alcohol breaks down a lot of these germs. But what about the 0.01% it doesn't kill? What happens to them? That is a real problem today because it's what doctors will call them superbugs, antibiotic-resistant bacteria. What it means is the stuff like penicillin that we used to use to kill all this stuff, well, all of the ones that were immune to it made it through, and now, well, how do we kill them? There, it's like we've weeded out the best and strongest bacteria and given them their time to shine. So it's a real and the question sort of was, well, if it kills 99.9% of germs, and then you just do it again, do you kill 99.99% of what's left? And the answer is no. The idea is this thing is capable of killing up to 99.99% of the germs that are on you, But you can't account for this 0.01% that might make it through. And 0.01% of, you know, millions of little creatures is still a lot of them.
Is there anything that can, like, kill 100% of germs?
Sure. I mean, there's the problem is finding something that can also not kill you. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they can't survive at 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit, but that's not going to help you.
I don't think you are either.
No, exactly. That's why cancer is hard to treat, too, because it's the same idea. It's like, we want to put something in there that kills living creatures. Like, well, you're a living creature. So you have to find something that is targeted, right? It kills only these particular things, and that's what antibiotics do. They go after very specific types of bacteria, but the ones that get through, this is kind of how evolution works, too. They are the ones that have the mutated gene or whatever that allows them to survive. Well, they're going to reproduce and have more kids that are also capable of surviving that, and so on and so forth. So we have to keep finding new different types of antibiotics to treat some of these very dangerous bacteria. The other option is to hopefully
cut off all your skin.
Sure, cut off all your skin. Or try and just survive it without the antibiotics. You're going to have to do that anyway. But the thought is, right now, doctors are giving out too many antibiotics, and they're causing this problem. Whereas, yeah, it stinks, and it's no fun to be sick for a few days, but you can bounce back from that. Like, you'll get sick for a few days, and then it'll be over, and you'll go back to school. And your body will have fought off all this stuff on its own without necessarily creating these new and improved bacteria that the rest of us now have to deal with. So it's an ongoing problem. So, but thank you. That was a really good question and a discussion topic. I think, Brandon, you had a question, right? Or did you already ask it?
I think I already did about the whole big the whole big world being like, is that like a...
Yeah, that's sort of a, getting back to that, it's called the myth of Gaia, G-A-I-A. And it's the idea that the entire Earth is itself a living organism called Gaia. But it's a nice metaphor to think about the Earth, but yeah, it isn't a true fact.
Now that we're talking about germs, I just feel like I have to go wash my hands 100 times. It's just kind of gross.
The word for that is OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. You can clean and scrub all you want, but you'll never really be clean. But it's okay, because you were meant to have germs all over. You have things bigger than germs on you. You have dust mites on you, like little bugs that are like multicellular organisms. There's all kinds of stuff living in it. You're like a walking apartment building.
you're a walking country. I mean, seriously.
Pretty much. You got a bigger population of... think about it. There's 7 billion people on Earth. There's probably close to that many different organisms living in and on you right now.
You're a walking planet.
Yep.
Love that.
You are a walking planet. So be a good planet, and just worry about the ones that are actually getting you sick when they get you sick, and just don't do anything to make it worse. Don't go rolling in garbage or whatever, and you should be okay. Don't
rolling
play with
in garbage.
Meals.
That's my weekly fun.
Oh.
Don't take that away from me.
We need to talk to your parents.
Okay.
I don't know that rolling in garbage is okay. Anyway, I think that'll do it for our disease episode. Tune in next time, because we're going to do a really interesting one. We like doing these Internet is Dumb segments on science myths. So we're going to do a whole episode of different kinds of various myths. They're called pseudoscience because they look like science. They might sound like science, but they are, in fact, total nonsense, and you shouldn't believe any of it.
Kind of like me.
Kind of like Brandon. So I think that'll be really fun. So until next time, I'm Doug.
I'm Brandon.
And so long, and thanks for all the fish.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, we hope you liked this episode of Quarks and Recreation. If you enjoy it, tell all your friends, and make sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/quarksandrec, tweet us at quarksandrec, or go to our website, www.quarksandrec.com. Send us your questions, your insight, anything else you want us to know, and we can't wait to hear from you. Thanks a lot.